Katra Podcast Conversations, for the curious essential knowledge, simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Katra AI. Welcome. Today we are diving deep, really deep, into a landmark work, Carl Sagan's Cosmos. And this isn't just, you know, a book about stars and planets. It's much bigger than that. It's a journey that kind of reframes how we see ourselves in this enormous universe.
That's absolutely right. The scope here is just vast. We're talking billions of years, tying together, well, pretty much everything, astronomy, biology, history. Our goal today, though, is to sort of distill that for you, to pull out the core idea that our human story is completely tangled up with the story of the universe itself. And crucially, how science doesn't just tell us where we came from, but also gives us this big responsibility, as Sagan might put it, as cosmic citizens.
I like that phrase, cosmic citizens. It implies action, responsibility, not just looking up at the sky. So let's start with the man himself, Carl Sagan. Born 1934, died 1996. People know the voice, the passion, but he was a serious scientist first, right?
Oh, absolutely. A top-tier scientist, professor at Cornell, deeply involved with NASA. We're talking Mariner, Viking, Pioneer, Voyager missions. He was right there. His own research. Focused a lot on planetary atmospheres, Venus, Mars, and, of course, the big question. Are we alone? The search for extraterrestrial intelligence.
But what made him different, I think, was that he didn't just do the science, he could explain it. He had this incredible knack for bridging that huge gap between, you know, complex research and just regular people. Mm-hmm. He made the universe feel like it belonged to everyone.
He really did. It was like this mix of a scientist's brain with a poet's heart, maybe, a philosopher's sense of wonder, definitely. And Cosmos, the book we're diving into, it grew alongside that famous TV series, the one that won Emmys, Peabody's, brought science into living rooms everywhere. If you need one single thing that sums up his whole belief in reaching out, it's got to be the Voyager Golden Record.
Ah, yes, the mixtape for aliens.
Kind of. He helped design its sounds, images of Earth flung out into space, a message in a bottle thrown into the cosmic ocean, hoping someone someday might find it. It's pure Sagan optimism outreach.
That hope really comes through. Okay, let's turn to the book itself. He kicks things off with this idea of the spaceship of the imagination. That's more than just a nice image, isn't it?
Oh, totally. It's a necessary tool, really. How else do you grasp these enormous distances, these immense timescales? It's his way of taking us anywhere, anytime, from the Big Bang to the edge of the observable universe, making abstract science feel real, tangible. And the core argument of the book, it's basically a declaration. The universe can be understood through science. And once you understand it, two things should happen. Humility, definitely. And this urgent feeling that we need to protect our little corner of it.
Right. And it's so welcoming. He doesn't expect you to be a physicist. Just curious.
Exactly. He starts from scratch, assuming only that you want to know.
And the way he weaves it all together, 14 billion years, astronomy, physics, biology, history, it all flows into that one profound idea. We are quite literally made of star stuff.
Yeah, it's this integrated vision, everything connected, from the smallest atom to the largest galaxy cluster.
So let's dig into some of those big concepts that give us that sense of scale. The first one, the one everyone remembers, is the cosmic calendar. How does that work?
It's probably his most famous perspective-shifting tool. He squeezes the entire 13.8 billion-year history of the cosmos into a single calendar year. So the Big Bang, that's midnight, January 1st. The Milky Way forms maybe in May. Our solar system, not until September, Earth, maybe mid-September.
Okay, keep going. Where do we show up?
Well, that's the kicker. All of recorded human history, everything from ancient Sumeria to now, fits into the last few seconds of December 31st.
Yeah, it's the last few seconds. That really does hit you. It's a genuine aha moment.
Definitely. It forces you to see our place in a totally new light.
But doesn't that risk making us feel, well, completely insignificant? Like, what's the point if we're just a blip?
Well, that's the interesting part. For Sagan, that shared smallness isn't meant to cause despair. It's meant to foster unity. And he doesn't leave us adrift. He shows us how we gain the tools to understand this vastness. He takes us way back to the Ionian Greeks. People like Thales, Anaximander.
The very first sparks of science.
Kind of, yeah. They had this radical idea for the time. That the universe wasn't run by moody gods, but by natural, understandable laws, that we could figure it out. That was the beginning of it all.
And that thinking led to amazing results pretty fast. like Eratosthenes.
Exactly. Okay. Working in the legendary Library of Alexandria, he figured out the circumference of the Earth using just shadows, wells, and basic geometry.
Incredible. Just observation and reason.
It's a perfect example of the power of the scientific approach. But then, Sagan uses the library itself as a kind of warning.
It's destruction.
Right. A tragic symbol of how easily knowledge can be lost, how fragile it is. It's a recurring theme in Cosmos, the fight against ignorance, the danger when dogma takes over.
That fear of dogma seems central. Okay, jumping forward a bit, he uses Johannes Kepler as another key example of science in action. Kepler's story is fascinating.
It really is. Kepler was kind of a mystic in some ways. He was looking for perfect geometric harmony in the planet's movements based on these almost religious ideas. But, and this is the crucial part, he had access to Tycho Brahe's incredibly precise observations, the best data available.
And the data didn't fit his beautiful theory of circular orbits.
Exactly. And what did Kepler do? He didn't fudge the data. He didn't ignore it. He threw away his cherished theory, his mystical perfection, because the evidence contradicted it. That led him to discover that orbits are elliptical. It's this huge triumph of observation over preconceived ideas. That's science working as it should. Self-correcting.
Which leads us perfectly to that unifying concept, the one you mentioned. Star stuff. This feels like where the book shifts from history to something deeply personal.
It absolutely is. It's the ultimate connection. Sagan walks us through how stars live and die, how massive stars, through nuclear fusion, cook lighter elements into heavier ones, carbon, oxygen, iron. All the stuff we need.
The building blocks of life.
Precisely. And then when these massive stars explode as supernovae, they blast those heavy elements out into the galaxy. Those elements mix with gas clouds, eventually form new stars, new planets, and on at least one planet, life.
So when he says we are made of star stuff, it's not just a metaphor.
Not at all. It's literal. The calcium in our bones, the iron in our blood forged in the heart of a star long ago. We are chemically, physically connected to the cosmos.
And that deep connection then informs a warning, doesn't it? He brings it back down to Earth, or rather to other planets, to teach us about our own. Thinking of Venus.
Right. This is where his own planetary science research feeds directly into the book's message. He studied Venus intensely. He describes it as this hellscape crushing pressure, lead melting temperatures because of a runaway greenhouse effect.
Uh-oh. Sounds familiar.
Exactly. By understanding what happened on Venus, how its climate balance got totally wrecked, likely by greenhouse gases building up, it becomes this stark, terrifying lesson for Earth, a potential future we need to avoid.
So understanding other worlds is vital for protecting ours?
It's inseparable. It's about planetary stewardship grounded in cosmic science.
And the whole narrative is kind of bookended by the Voyager probes carrying that golden record.
Yeah, Voyager becomes the symbol of that ongoing human quest. The same drive that pushed the Ionians, that drove Kepler. It's that fundamental urge to explore, to understand, to reach out. It's humanity at its best, in a way, sending these little robotic emissaries out into the vast unknown.
Okay, so let's try and boil this down. What are the really key messages, the big takeaways from Cosmos that we can maybe use today?
Yeah, the so what? How does this cosmic view actually help us? I think there are three main ones. First, and maybe most important, is what Sagan calls the cosmic perspective. It's all about humility. Seeing Earth as this tiny, fragile, pale blue dot against the vastness of space, it just makes our squabbles, our divisions, look, well, kind of absurd.
Puts things in perspective, to say the least.
Yeah.
The hope is that this view unites us, right?
Yeah.
Seeing our shared vulnerability.
That's the idea. Shared home, shared fate. But it's not just about feeling small. He gives us the tool to navigate this reality, which is the second point. Science as the ultimate tool.
The candle in the dark.
Exactly. He champions the scientific method not as a body of facts, but as a way of thinking. It's skeptical. It demands evidence. It's self-correcting. It's our best defense against deception, superstition, pseudoscience. The demons he saw haunting our world.
And the third key theme ties back to that cosmic citizenship idea.
Precisely. Guardians of a fragile world. That cosmic perspective, seeing how special and rare Earth is, it doesn't just make us humble, it makes us realize how precious this planet is. And that understanding translates directly into an ethical duty, a responsibility to protect Earth from the dangers we create, nuclear war, environmental catastrophe. Our survival literally depends on using our smarts wisely.
And the way he writes about it.
Yeah.
It's not dry. Yeah. It's often beautiful, almost poetic.
Oh, definitely. His phrasing is so memorable. We should probably touch on a few key quotes.
Good idea.
Okay, first, summing up that core connection. We are made of star stuff. We are a way for the cosmos to know itself.
I love that second part. It's not just that we came from the stars, but that through us, through consciousness, the universe becomes aware of itself. That's pretty profound.
It really is. Okay, second quote. Vital for thinking clearly. Absence of evidence is not evidence of absence.
Right. The classic skeptical stance. Just because we haven't found something life on Mars, say, doesn't prove it isn't there. Keep looking. Keep questioning. Don't jump to conclusions. It demands intellectual honesty.
Absolutely. And finally, one that shows the deep humanism underneath all the science. For small creatures such as we, the vastness is bearable only through love.
Ah, that hits home. In the face of all that cosmic indifference, all that emptiness, it's our connections to each other, our compassion, our love. That's what gives meaning to our brief lives on this little dot.
Beautifully put. So how do we actually use these big ideas? What are the practical applications for us navigating life today?
Well, the first one seems obvious, especially now. Enhancing critical thinking. We all need Sagan's baloney detection kit, perhaps more than ever.
Absolutely. We're bombarded with information, claims, misinformation. Applying that kit, asking for evidence, spotting logical fallacies, questioning authority, being willing to be wrong. It's essential for navigating everything from health fads to political news.
It's about thinking like a scientist in everyday life.
Yes. And the second application is maybe more personal. Cultivating perspective.
Using that cosmic calendar trick on ourselves.
Sort of. When you're stressed about, you know, traffic or some small daily annoyance, consciously try to zoom out. Remember the scale of things. See your problem against the backdrop of cosmic time and space.
It can shrink the problem down to size. Foster a bit of calm, maybe. A bigger picture view.
Exactly. It helps prioritize what really matters. And the final one. Inspiring awe.
Just looking up at the night sky differently.
Yeah. Cosmos has this amazing power to transform that simple act. You're not just seeing twinkles, you're seeing distant suns, galaxies, the nurseries where stars are born, the places your own atoms came from. It injects this layer of wonder and connection into the everyday. It reminds you of your cosmic heritage.
You know, what really stays with me after revisiting Cosmos is how seamlessly Sagan blends science and wonder. He shows that understanding how the universe works doesn't strip away the magic. It actually deepens it. It makes it more amazing, not less. It feels like a profoundly humanistic statement.
I completely agree. And maybe that's the ultimate takeaway for everyone listening. It's about gaining that cosmic perspective. Truly seeing ourselves not as separate from the universe, but as a thinking, feeling part of it. A small part, yes, but a precious one. And recognizing that our future, our survival, really depends on using our knowledge, our science, with the wisdom and humility that perspective demands. We're the universe becoming aware. That's a heck of a responsibility.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.